Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey there, this is Brittany Luce from NPR's It's Been a Minute. KQED's podcasts like The Bay, Bay Curious, Mind Shift, Right Nowish, and more all tell the stories of the Bay and beyond with reliable, human-centered journalism. They aim to inspire, make you think, entertain, and expand your understanding of the place you call home. Here's how you can support podcasting at KQED.
Showing your support is easy, and you can join Brittany in supporting KQED Podcast too at donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.
From KQED.
Stevie Wonder's harmonica drips, slow honey out of the boombox. Layers of sweet gold spilling over aluminum pops. Between the simmer pop of canola oil, backyard full of grape Kool-Aid grins with drumstick bones for teeth, sucked clean. Full lips licked moist by Midwest July air. Brown skin battered with Vaseline, deep fried in sunlight. Rainbow plastic barrettes percussing against the slick shine of blue magic grease. Inside the spinning nucleus of blurred jump ropes. Tiny relentless stomps beating a familiar song into the asphalt chalk. Tender rib meat pressed against every other mouth. A protective mask. Cigarillo smoke dribbling thick off the bottom lip.
This is Maria Skinka in for Erica Cruz Guevara, and welcome to The Bay. Today, we're celebrating National Poetry Month, which has kind of become an annual tradition on the show. And that's something I'm really excited about because poetry is so special to me. And I've been thinking a lot about the role of poetry and what it means to be a poet when you care about the world and the people in it. I recently saw a video of the poet Lucille Clifton where she says poetry is a way of being in the world. And when I first met Darius Simpson, that couldn't be clearer.
The poem is as committed a person, as potent a person, as revolutionary or radical as you are.
For Darius, poetry is a way to talk about liberation, to name the systems that are oppressing us, and to offer a solution. As an organizer with People's Programs in Oakland, Darius puts his politics into practice. In other words, his poetry is an extension of himself.
Really, the most important thing for you is your daily political practice. And you have to ask yourself, what is it that I'm doing? And then how can a poem be in service of that?
For today's episode, Darius talks about his poetry collection, Never Catch Me, and what he hopes his poetry can do. All that after the break.
Hi, I'm Sasha Coca, host of the California Report magazine. Every week, we bring you stories about what connects us in the giant, diverse Golden State. Because what happens in California changes the world.
I love this place. We were once seen as like the place to be, California. The land of milk and honey. That's where you go to Sunshine State. But we just have challenges right now.
KQED's California Report magazine. New episodes drop every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment. And if you love what you're hearing, and I know you love what you're hearing, please consider becoming a KQED member. You get special access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. Plus, you'll sleep better at night knowing you did your part for the community you depend upon. It's in you. Please be in it. Visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to sign up now. That's podcast with an S. Thanks.
My name is Darius Simpson. I am a poet, writer, performer, and skilled living room dancer from Akron, Ohio. Growing up in Akron, there was a really close-knit relationship between the Black folks that I really appreciate now, especially looking back and having lived in different places. The way that our neighbors related to each other, there was a big community effort of like mowing folks' lawns, shoveling driveways. When I was a teenager, it was a lot of outside things, and so sports, riding bikes, playing outside, you know, pick up football games, tag, hide and seek. I first came across poetry in fourth grade during a poetry unit with Mrs. Croft. My mother, she got called in for a teacher's meeting, and Mrs. Croft was like, yeah, this thing that he did, it was like a poetry packet where we had to do haikus and limericks and all that stuff. And she pointed to him and was like, he got an A++ on this. He's really good at this. You should have him keep doing this. And so from there, my mom just kept reiterating that I was a poet, even when I didn't really know what that meant. And so she would tell me, you're a poet. You know, you can write a poem for grandma, write a poem for, you know, Mother's Day. From there, I remember writing like emotion poems of like having really big feelings and not knowing how to describe them. So I would like put them into poetry. Or I like you poems for folks in like fifth and sixth grade. It meant a lot to have my mom tell me or like affirm or celebrate something that I was doing, because like I said, at the time, I didn't really know what it was. And so I knew that this person who I loved really appreciated this thing that I did. And so while I couldn't really see the full value of poetry at the time, I could see it as a like a service to the people that I love, and that it was received that way. We don't die. We second line trumpet groove through gridlock streets. We home go in charcoal black Cadillacs stretching around corners. We wake up sharp in Sunday best, stiff but beaming. We move the sky. We escape route starshine. We crescent moon conspiracy. We come alive in the closed palms of midnight. We electrify. We pass due bill, but full belly. We fridge empty. We pocket lent payments. We make ends into extensions. We multiply. We claim cousins as protection. We so-and-so plus and them. We extend family to belong to someone. We siblings cause we gotta be. We chicken fry. We greased kitchen. We hog neck greens. We recipe scraped together from scraps. We prophesy. We told you so, even if we never told you nothing. We omniscient, except in our own business. We swallow nations' anthems and spit them out sweet. Make them sound like red velvet ain't just chocolate with a little dye in it. We bend lies. We amplify. We laugh so hard it hurts. We hurt so quiet. We dance. We stay fly. We float on tracks. We glide across linoleum. We make it look like butter. We melt like candle wax in the warmth of Saturday night liquor sweat. We don't die. We dust that colonies couldn't settle. We saltwater city built from runaway skeletons. We organize. We Oakland in 66. We Attica in 71. We Ferguson before and after the camera crews. We bow but don't break. We break but don't crumble. We won't die. We won't die. We won't die. We won't die, we won't die, we won't die, we won't. I start the poem, We Don't Die, with we, and the book with a we, because right now, to me, poetry is attempting to be in service to a collective we being colonized people, especially Africans in the U.S. Asada Shakur and a number of folks that participated in the New African Independence Movement or have made contributions to the New African Independence Movement have come to lowercase the I and focus on we in an attempt to move away from individualism, to move away from the ways that capitalism has kind of isolated us, and have us really considering the we. I ended up in the Bay by way of being in a documentary when I was in high school. The filmmaker lives in the Bay, and as a part of the filming process, she brought out some of the protagonists from the film, and we did filming in Berkeley and downtown Oakland, but she made it a point to like take us through the Bay. Out here, there was just a gravitational pull to people that I can't really put words to. There was an energy, and I was in college at this time, so I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna live here after. I would say that mostly all the connections that I've found out here have been in Oakland. To be honest, most of everywhere else that I've gone has been like, this is nice, but you know, my people have always been found in Oakland, you know, walking down the street, attending open mics, slams, events. There's iconography all over. I think that seeing Panther symbols, seeing streets named after former Panthers, even the things in people's windows have a political tinge to them that don't really happen in other cities. Like when I started off, I was working in middle schools, and the like 6th to 8th graders understanding of gentrification is like, wow, like, you know, what is it? What's going on here? You know? And so I think that there is, at various points, there's a political focus and undertone. My poetry shifted when I came to the Bay, I think initially because I was trying to see what I could do with poetry as a tool. So in 2017, I was separated from the political home that I had in Michigan, and all the things that I was saying that I was against and all the things I was saying I was for were playing out in the world still, but I didn't have any sort of community. So I had the question of, okay, well, what can I do? How can I contribute? And so my poetry really took a more explicitly political aim during that time because I had nothing else. And I was like, okay, well, I have these poems, I have these words, how can it be used? I was typing in Black boy killed by police, and that naturally brought up a host of other stories unintentionally, one of them being Victor Steen. In the poems that I write and in my life, my mother is very special to me, and she's a central figure in the way that that Victor Steen's story played out. Following his murder, Pigs waited 2 days, almost 2 days, to tell his mother about it. I'd feel related to the way the story played out, riding your bike at night. We played outside all day, you know. We didn't always have streetlights depending on where you were, whose house you were over. And so that meant that sometimes you were out till dark and like riding home. And that's really all he was doing. And the ludicrous accusations of what he was actually doing, you know, where they said this 17-year-old Black boy riding a bike was stealing 2,000-pound construction equipment from a lot. And that's the reason they had to stop him. Definitely saw some of myself in him. And that's a question that I had to sit with, too, of like, you know, why am I going to include these poems? What is the purpose and intention? Impact, a run-on question. I want to tell you about the first time I watched pigs trample him, but I've already written that funeral. And yes, my cheeks were flooded stairwells when black and white dash cam footage crushed me. Cause I could have swore his bike was cherry red, and so was mine, before the paint chipped off, before the right foot pedal split off in the speeding mouth of a Toyota Camry. And I want to tell you about the fourth time I watched pigs flatten him, but I got hit by a car when I was 9. So talking about accidents makes my foot itch. And maybe there's no accidental way to run through a person, like an inconvenient red light or a shortcut. And maybe I'm making up excuses because I've never been to Pensacola, Florida, and the video was still too close to home. And I was 6 houses down from mine when a green sedan bent the fragile spine of my bike backwards into dead curbside grass. And I was 5-minute walk from my apartment when I saw the video. Or when I watched pigs deflate him for the 8th time, and the day I got hit, my mother told my siblings to wait for me. But I'm the youngest, so they left. Anyway, And my loyalty is hard-headed, so I need explicit rejection, often chasing behind people that don't want me around. So I darted off after them. And he was riding his bike alone that night, too. And in the video, it looked like he had lost someone. And the first thing I thought was how much trouble awaited me for the dents in my twisted handlebars. And the second thought was if I would be allowed to ride my bike alone again. And a black neighbor sprinted outside and wound her arms around my head like I was hers. And I just know that no one hugged him or said he was gonna be okay. And what's a black boy alone on a bike in the near night anyway, huh? And what good would it do? Telling you about how there was no blood, but still enough questions to fill a casket. And where was I going with that bike or his name or this grief or an almost elegy? And what is an obituary from a stranger anyway? I would say 2020, where my politics really started to develop, there was this building on a question of what does it mean to write poems for a particular purpose. People's Programs was having a community learning for the public to come through, and there was going to be some kind of discussion or presentation. And I was like, bet, you know, I'm trying to be wherever folks like this are at. And so I pulled up. They had somewhere to sign up to volunteer. So there was a book list that dropped immediately after. It had Assata Shakur's autobiography, Revolutionary Suicide by Huey Newton, and a couple other books by Black revolutionaries. And I went to the bookstore immediately after. I think when I've been in those spaces before, the charge is always really vague, where I've seen people that inspired me or like who I admired, but they didn't have a tangible next step for my own development. And that was something that stood out with People's Programs initially. You know, the rest is pretty much history. Been rocking with them ever since. I would say my poetry through volunteering with People's Programs has shifted toward naming phenomena more explicitly. We're writing about state violence, we write as the victims. You know, we're victims either in the case of detailing the brutality or victims in the sense of moving towards a utopia where none of this happens. What's missing from both of those points of view or ways of approaching a situation is the reality that there's another option, one that names the enemies, one that names an explicit alternative and goal, and one that, again, empowers the people to move to action in there right now, or troubles the way that our actions are actually limiting what we have available to us. But my point is that it doesn't matter what you say on a page, how well you say it, how beautiful it sounds. If you are contributing to colonialism, capitalism, and not disrupting those things on a daily basis, then what you say is actually a betrayal. It's a posturing. The poem is as committed a person, as potent a person, as revolutionary or radical as you are, and being something as like a calling card for the audience. Really, the most important thing for you is your daily political practice. And you have to ask yourself, what is it that I'm doing? And then how can a poem be in service of that? You know, because a poem is just a tool, and it is as useful and as useless as the person wielding the tool. What we doing here? I wanted to be a good poet once. Tossed a handful of haikus at a cop, and he laughed. My MFA advisor says that ain't what poems are for. But these days, I don't want to make art that can't also be a weapon against oppressors, that can't double as an invitation to organize. This is not me making excuses for bad poems. This is a critique of how we become experts, a question of how that expertise can be used by the people who will die tomorrow with little food in the stomach or fridge or family. These days, all my dreams involve comrades. Last night, I had a wild one about liberation. There was people outside everywhere. Then when it got cold, we all went inside. Every single one of us had an inside. The end. I had a wacky idea about education yesterday, that we should all know the best things for free. I had a nightmare about my kin last week, They were rotting in prisons and boardrooms and coffins and courtrooms and all equally lifeless. Revolution is the process of organized reanimation, to admit that somebody killed you centuries ago, and everything since has been apocalyptic reiteration. Call me American if you want to hear God choke. Call me New African if you want to petrify colonialism. I'm not looking for, you know, millions of views on YouTube or book awards. My intention is to reach a certain group of people, namely and firstly who I'm writing from, which is New Africans, which is colonized people, which is people that are looking to do something about our condition. So I hope my poetry speaks to, inspires those folks to do something about our condition.
That was poet Darius Simpson. His latest work can be found at dariussimpson.com. He will also host a workshop followed by a reading at the Elmhurst branch of the Oakland Public Library on April 30th from 6 to 8 p.m. This episode was cut down and edited by me and Alan Montesilio. It was scored by Erica Cruz Guevara, music courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions and Audio Network. I'm Maria Skinka. The Bay is a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Thanks for listening.
Hi there. I'm Rand Abdel-Fattah from Throughline. If you're listening to this podcast, you know that KQED produces exceptional storytelling that keeps you informed, inspired, and entertained. Their podcasts cover issues from your neighborhood to the entire country and everything in between. Support this work today.
You can help us continue to bring quality podcasts to your ears. Just head to donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.